relaxed. We're very relaxed in the laws of listening to music during Sefira. We explain why that is so, why there are very strong grounds, why there indeed are very strong grounds to be lenient in listening to music. So in general, this year the Olam has been very, very lenient. And you know what really manifested itself? In videos, promotional videos, over the last, Sefira, the main part of Sefira, which is Sefira for everyone, is between Rosh Chodesh and tonight. Everyone has to observe Sefira. But during this last period of time, there have been many promotional videos online to raise money for Yesoimim, Almanos, for Hatzalah, for many worthy organizations. Now, I didn't pay attention to every single thing, but I did happen to note here and there that some of these promotional videos have music. And music, what are you doing? Music. And also, there were many people that came back from the hospital, and their grandchildren made for them a very lavish welcome with music. How are you allowed to do that? How are you allowed to welcome back a person from the hospital by setting up in the street a musician to play real music? It's not so simple. Obviously, the Rabbanim, as we discussed, we gave a long shiur about this, they discussed that, to be mechazek the choyle, who miraculously survived this ordeal and is still in need of rachamim, the music and the dancing would serve to give him chizuk, the code word for this generation, would give him chizuk, and that's why they permitted music. Okay, that may be fine and good for the people who need chizuk, but us at home watching these videos of people getting chizuk, is it really appropriate? I don't know. That's a very private matter which has to be discussed individually with each rabbi. But in any event, tonight music is permitted.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Rabbi Levine, in the Shtogadar, there have been a few cases of people that returned from the hospital and then they succumbed afterwards and they passed away. Just yesterday was a Levaya from some people knew him, Dr. Tesler.
Yes.
Who had it, and he was returned home, and then he got sick again, and he died. Yesterday was a Levaya.
Yes, terrible, terrible, terrible. Yeah. Horrible. This is a terrible magefa. Terrible, terrible matzav. Okay, but whatever it is, there's no question the Rabbanim were matir giving chizuk. It's over. But tonight is the night when everyone is allowed to play music. Lag ba'omer, you can listen to music at night. However, just because you can listen to music, you're not allowed to take a haircut. Taking haircuts first become permitted in the morning, not at night. And it's a very interesting question, why is that so? If Lag Ba'omer indeed is a Yom Tov, they stop dying, so why do we differentiate between the night and the day? At night, we listen to music, but by day, we still refrain from taking haircuts until... And marriages also, l'chatchila, not supposed to take place at night. That is their heterim for it. If you really desperately, they have married at night as well. But haircuts are done in the morning. Why is that so? I don't have a clear answer. I don't have a good answer. Maybe tomorrow, look into that more, why we make that differentiation. There's what to talk about, but we'll leave it for now. But for right now, let's just discuss the basic halacha. At night, music is permitted. Haircuts are not permitted until tomorrow morning. Okay, now let's discuss some of the minhagim. There's a minhag to eat carib, to eat boxer. You thought the minhag to eat boxer was only on Tu B'Shvat? Not so. There's a minhag to eat carib boxer on Lag B'Omer, a zecher for the Nes. What was the Nes? Rashbi. There's a tradition that Rashbi, the Orach HaShulchan, writes this. The Orach HaShulchan writes, actually, that the reason why we celebrate Rashbi is not because he died on Lag B'Omer. And in fact, we have no historical proof that he died on Lag BaOmer. There are many Gedolei Yisrael that challenged the premise that Rashbi died on Lag BaOmer. It says this in various Sfarim, but the authenticity of what it says there has been challenged. What we do have is something much more authentic, which is the son of Chaim Vital. See, the Arizal, he was the master of Kabbalah. Okay, so he represents for us, so to speak, Rashmi, the Arizal. The Arizal did not write very much, if anything. It was written by his Talmud, Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital had a very choshevous son. His name was Shimon Vital. And he wrote about Lag BaOmer, the significance of Lag BaOmer, and he makes absolutely no mention that Rashbi died on Lag BaOmer. Nothing. And that right away opens up a whole question. So why do we celebrate Lag BaOmer at the cave of at the burial spot of Rashbi? And Rabbi Shimon Vital writes something very powerful, is because we celebrate his life. We celebrate the life of Rashbi because he also did not die. Okay, this really is the part two I want to talk about after the break. Is Rashbi just like, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let's make it very, very simple. Very, very simple. This is what he does right. On Lag BaOmer, the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. And what happened? Rabbi Akiva did not give up. Instead, he started anew. And he took five new Talmidim and sat down and learned with them all over again. One of the five Talmidim that he sat down to learn with on Lag BaOmer was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, it was the day that it was his first day of Cheder. That's pretty much it. Lag BaOmer was the first day that Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was so influential in Yadus, brought to Klal Yisrael the Sisrei Torah. What was his first day of Yeshiva? It's not his birthday. It's not the day that he died. It's the first day he went to Yeshiva. This is in essence what Rabbi Shimon Vital writes about Lag BaOmer. There is no mention that he died, no mention that he was born. Instead, it was his first day in Yeshiva with his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, and being that he was so instrumental in preserving Yadus, the Klal Yisrael, in the revealing to this world the Sisrei Torah, we celebrate his first day in Cheder. Okay, so now part of his story, of Rashbi's story, was his life was he was hidden in a cave for 13 years, and it says in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, the Flamed Gimel, that what happened when he was in the cave, a miracle happened.
Again, for interrupting, that could be why there's one of the songs that we sing like Bohemers also, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael.
The Talmid of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, right? And he began to learn anew, to learn fresh. It was a new beginning, a new beginning with his five Talmidim. That's one of the primary reasons. Right? That's one of the primary reasons. And one of his primary students was Rashbi. And Rashbi's influence is with us Ad Hayom Hazeh, so we celebrate his life. He was locked up in a cave for 13 years, and a miracle happened that a chorav, a carob tree, grew at the Pesach of this Mara, which he was sustained for 13 years. In commemoration of that miracle, we remind ourselves by eating those who do so. I don't do so, but those who do so, it seems like it's a minhag to eat chorav on Lag BaOmer, not just on Tu B'Shvat. Okay, what other halachas are there on Tu B'Shvat? There is a minhag to give a child a haircut. There's a minhag that a child who is approximately 3 years old, it is the day when he gets his first haircut. Now, does not mean it has to be his birthday. There are different minhagim. A child who is already 3+ years, or let's say his third birthday was Pesach, or was Purim, or maybe was even before that. So there is a minhag that you wait until Lag Ba'omer after his third year to cut his hair on Lag Ba'omer by either just stamp to cut or to even to go to the Meron, to the Kever of Rashbi to cut his hair. Some hold that even if the child is not yet 3 years, if he's already 2.5 years old and his birthday is going to be sometime in the summer before Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is, good enough, you can already cut his hair now. Now already is the time to cut his hair. Why? It's the same reason. Because when you cut the hair of a child, what you're really in essence doing is you are initiating him into the service. You are beginning the chinuch. When a child is 3 years old and you cut his hair, you make peos harosh, you mekayim a mitzvah. I mean, by cutting the hair and not cutting the peos harosh. It's a minute to put on a talis katan for the child, have him lick the letters of the aleph beis, and to wrap him up in a talis, v'chulu, all these interesting minhagim. But the essence of what you're doing with a child when you cut off his hair and you make peos and you put on a yarmulke and give him tzitzis and you teach him the letters of the aleph beis is you are bringing him to cheder, you are starting his limud haTorah. That is exactly what happened on Lag Ba'omer. The Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying and he started new. He took 5 Talmidim and he started to learn with them the Aleph Beis. Started fresh to learn with them. And that's what we do with children. That's the Minhag Yisrael. Lag Ba'omer is a day for the children. It's a day to initiate them, to start off their Limud HaTorah. We cut their hair and to Mekayim the Peyos HaRosh and with all that which it entails to learn, to initiate them into Talmud Torah. Now, that's interesting. I'll tell you some interesting shilas. Today, it became a big thing. Today, this was not true years ago. I never had a chalaka. I don't know anyone, any of my chaverim did not have a chalaka. No one had this. Today it's a new world. Today, even if you're an ultra, ultra Litvak, today the minig is you don't cut their hair for 3 years, and on Lag Ba'omer or on their third birthday, you take them to the Rav, you take them to a Gedolim, and the Gedolim cut their hair. And they make a party, v'chulu, v'chulu. It's a new thing. It's a new religion that has evolved over the years. The barbers are not doing well this year. Promoted this. The barbers this year are not doing well, the barbers. The barbers are a file for unemployment, unfortunately. But in any event, this is a new thing. I even saw a video, a very nice video by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, last year, 2 years ago. They line up. It's unreal. You got to see what goes on there. You got to see this video. They probably have hundreds of children that come into Chaim Kanievsky, and they line them up, and he knocks them off one after the other. They give him a scissors. He cuts a little bit of their hair, and they give him a talis kod. There's a ceremony. It's a big deal, and by a lot of rebbes. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is not a rebbe. He's not a rebbe, but they made him into a rebbe. But certainly by rebbes they do this. So what is this all about? New, it became a new thing. Is there an inyan? Not an inyan? Doesn't matter. That's what's done today. Question, interesting halacha question. Are you allowed to do this ceremony, this new ceremony that is evolved to cut the child's hair in a shul? Is it disgraceful? You don't take haircuts in shul. That is unacceptable. It is unacceptable to set up a shul as a barbershop. No way. When you cut your hair, you have to wash your hands. There's a ruach of tumah that comes upon your hands when you cut your hair. It's not a place to go have a haircut. How about even bringing a scissors into a shul? There is a halacha that you're not allowed to bring into a shul a weapon, to bring a gun, a sar, a razor. So how are you allowed to have some places they come to the Rebbe in the shul, and in the shul they cut the hair, and they bring in the scissors. So the poskim say that it's permitted. Why is it permitted? This is not a haircut. And this is very important you cite. This ceremony is a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? It's a mitzvah of leaving over the peyos harosh. This is a halacha. Loi sakifu pe'as roishchem. You're not allowed to take off the corners of your head. Now, even though it's more of a negative mitzvah, there's no mitzvah to make peyos. The mitzvah is just don't violate the loi saseh. Yet, to a degree, there is an element of a mitzvah of creating machin peyos. You make the peyos. The peyos are holy. It used to be there was a lot about we discussed some of the laws of peyos of cutting what exactly how to cut. But there are a lot of inyonim relating to the chashivos of having peyos. Every single person in the shir has peyos. You don't have to be a chassid with curly peyos down to your stomach to have peyos. Every single Jew has peyos. And when you give a child the first haircut and you leave over the peyos harosh, that is a mitzvah. And that mitzvah is nothing wrong with doing a mitzvah in the Beis HaKnesses. As far as bringing in a weapon, Paiskim say scissors is not a weapon. To bring in a gun is a weapon. To bring in maybe a razor, maybe not be permitted. But a pair of scissors is an innocent tool that is used to make this, to make peyos. It's not considered in their eyes to be a violation of halacha to do the ceremony in the Beis HaKnesses. There's another minug, is to go to the kevarim, is to go to Kivrei Tzadikim on Lag BaOmer, specifically to go to the kever of Rashbi, to go to his kever, and going to a kever. Why in this brings up a topic of discussion, a general topic of discussion, which we spoke many times. Is it proper to go and daven at the kever of the dead? What is davening by the kevarim all about? So we know it says in Shulchan Aruch that on a tainis, the ikar zman to go to a kever of tzaddikim is on during a tainis, a yoim tzoim, a day of fasting, in order to bring forth merit. I like to view Lag BaOmer as a bitter sweet day. Mitzad echad, it's a yom tif. It's a yom tif. It's a new beginning. The Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. Rash Rabbi Akiva started to learn with new Talmidim. But I told you last week, we gave a whole share on this, it's when you're at a point of transition between the dead and the living, it's a time of memorial. I tried to suggest to you that hidden in one of the reasons why we have a bonfire is now that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, it's now time to memorialize those who died, as it says in the pasuk, "V'chol beis Yisrael yivku es hasreifa asher soraf Hashem." When we are looking for zuchusim, we're looking to go forward with a new perspective, a new beginning. The halacha is you are supposed to go to Kivrei Tzadikim. On Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's the minhag to go to Kivrei Tzadikim. On Tisha B'Av, there's a minhag to go to a cemetery. There's a minhag on a tainis to go to Kivrei Tzadikim. If on Lag BaOmer we're going to the grave of Rashbi in order to have find merit, it's because it's not just a day of joy. It's a day of reflection. It's a day to memorialize the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who passed away. In every generation, there are equivalent to the 24 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva who passed away. It may not be the number 24,000, but there are people who passed away. There are people who passed away, and it's a time to memorialize their patira. And the proper way to do that is to go to a Beis HaKvaros, to reflect and to be mevakeh shrachamim, to have suchusim. Okay, so that is a minig. The minig is to go not just, the minig is you show, it's not just to go to Rashbi. There are people who just stop, they go on Lag BaOmer, you go to Kivrei Tzadikim. We can't go to Rashbi. And this year, I don't think they don't want us to go to cemeteries either. Okay, they're not letting people into cemeteries now for no reason. Why not? I don't know, it's social distancing because of Maybe there's, I don't know. They don't, I don't think the cemeteries are open. Maybe they are. Maybe the cemeteries are. It doesn't seem like they're closed. But I went to two funerals. I went to two funerals recently. The cemetery is open. No one's holding you back. I didn't see anyone, a policeman there holding anyone back going to the cemetery. I really do not know. But there is, it does appear to be a minhag to go to Kivrei Tzadikim, even if you cannot go to Rashbi, to go to Kivrei Tzadikim. It's a time of reflection to over those who have passed away and to focus on a better future. Now, what about Kohanim? Are Kohanim allowed to go to Kivrei Tzadikim? Do we say that Tzadikim are not Metame? So there is a very big machlokes about this. Are Kohanim allowed to go to Kivrei Tzadikim? The source that those who say yes, their source that it's permitted is from a Gemara. The Gemara says that when Rabbeinu HaKadosh passed away, batla Kiddusha. Kiddusha came to an end. And there's another Girsa. And the other Girsa in the Gemara is batla Kuhuna. Kuhuna came to an end, meaning all Kohanim were permitted to contaminate themselves in participation with burial of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So many people want to use this as a source that we see that when it comes to tzaddikim, when a tzaddik passes away, you're allowed to contaminate yourself. And by extension, when it comes to Rashbi, Kohanim are allowed to go to his kever. And when it comes to other tzaddikim, Kohanim are allowed to go to their kever. Now that is a very, very far stretch to do such a thing, because when it says the Gemara, first of all, the Ikar Girsa is Batla Kiddusha. It's only a secondary Girsa to say Batla Kuhuna. That's not the primary Girsa. To say that Kuhuna came to an end. And even if you want to say that's the correct Girsa, the only thing the Gemara is teaching us is that you're allowed, a Kohen is allowed to contaminate himself to a Nasi or to a Tzaddik up until the time of burial. Because a Tzaddik, a holy person, we look at him like a mace mitzvah. Everyone that's around has to give him honor. That's the proper thing to do. But that ends after the tzaddik has been buried. This, all of the sources, you want to try to prove that when a tzaddik dies, the laws of spiritual contamination are suspended, are only true up until the time the tzaddik is buried. Once the tzaddik is buried, that's it, it's over. You're no longer allowed to contaminate yourself. So Rashbi was buried long, long ago. There's no permission, no heter bizman hazeh, for a kohen to go into his cave, into the place where he's buried, because that's an open, blatant violation of halacha. Kohanim akol na nefesh meis lo yavo. Chazal also say, man of shach, look at this. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. They were Tameim. We have a tradition they were Tameim. We have in the Gemara where Amoraim were all Tameim. These are very holy tzaddikim. David HaMelech, we have all the greatest tzaddikim. They all, we find in stories in Chazal and Midrashim in the Gemara, they were all Tameim. If the greatest Gidoilim, the greatest Ishei HaTanach were Metame, and Kohanim were not allowed to come into their vicinity, and there are different Memorial Chazal which clearly state that to be the case about the Ovois, about the Mois, about Yosef, about Moshe and Aaron, and even the Amoraim. So what are you making believe that a person today can go to a kever of a tzaddik and you can say, oh, he's not mitane? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. These people were not greater than the Avos. If the Avos can't go to a kohen, can't go to the kever. So certainly you're not going to go to the kever of these people. So this is something which is a halacha. This is a basic yisoid. This is a controversial thing by some people that tzaddikim are mitane when they die. And kohanim are not allowed to go to their tzion under no condition, and all of the sources to find that they're allowed to are few and far in between. And one of the primary sources comes from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he was nifter batla kuhuna, but that's a weak argument because that was only true up until the time when he was actually buried. Okay, now there are other minhagim. There is a minhag to make a bonfire. Okay, let's discuss the minhag to make a bonfire on Lag BaOmer. What's the inyan of making a bonfire Lag BaOmer? So, simply, it's because it represents the aur of Torah. When Hashem created the world, Hashem saw that the aur vayar lekim esar ki toiv, and it was too good for the world to derive benefit from. So Hashem was goines, he hid the aur, he hid it, he put it away. Rashbi, he brought back to the world a taste of that aur by revealing the secrets of Torah. So the bonfire that we make is a revelation, is a reference to the aur that is gonus for tzadikim le'osid lavo, which has been but a taste of that aur has been revealed through Rashbi, through the revelation of the Sisrei Torah. That's probably the most popular reason why we light a bonfire on Lag BaOmer. We light in honor of Rashbi for revealing to us a little mashahu of the aur that was gonus from the time of Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. Now there is a minug to, in making this bonfire, to use shemen zayizach, to use pure olive oil, and that's in fact part of the popular song we sing, Bar Yochai Mashachta Ashrecha. You have been anointed. You have been anointed. In other words, you're special. You're a holy person. The shemen hamishcha is what anointed the kohanim gedolim and the kings. So when we make the fire, with Shemen Zayas. Okay, you've all seen the videos in Meiron where they have enormous amount of olive oil that they use to prepare to light for the lighting of the bonfires. In addition, there is a controversial minhag to burn at the bonfire clothing, to throw into the bonfire expensive designer clothing. You ever hear such a thing? You go to the department store, you go today to Bergdorf Goodman, are they open? They're probably not even open. You go to all the expensive department stores and you buy the most expensive suit money can buy. A purple label of, I don't know, some fancy designer. And you buy this expensive $5,000 suit and you come to Meiron and you throw into the fire the $5,000 purple label Armani suit. You lose your mind? Did you lose your mind to go take a $5,000 designer suit and to throw it into the fire in honor of Rashbi? You gotta have to have lost your mind to do something like this. What is this all about? This Taka Minuk. So there were many Gedolei Yisrael that said, if you do this, not only is it forbidden, you're oiver either an Isser de Rabbanan or an Isser de Oiraisa of Baal Tashchis to do such a thing. It's an Isser either de Oiraisa or at least mid Rabbanan to burn in the fire an expensive garment. Why in the world would you want to do this? So there are many. First of all, let's just discuss, are you allowed to do it? Before we get to why would you want to do it? So some argue there's nothing wrong, because you're doing it in honor of Rashbi. Now, we have to figure out what is the honor. But why is it not Baal Tashchis? So the argument that is given in the rebuttal is, go to any Beis HaKnesses. Go to Shachris Minyan. Shachris, there's plenty of light outside in the street. In Shul, it's plenty of light. Electricity, we have LED, there's plenty of light. Why then does the Shliach Tzibur turn on the candelabra, the menorah, at the Amud? In some shuls, most shuls have electric menorahs out of six candles, five, whatever they have, not seven. And in some, in addition to the electric, they also light candles. All the chassidus are shtibluch, they light candles. Say to the fellow, the Baal Tvila, excuse me, sir, why are you turning on the menorah? It's a waste of electricity. When you can't read the words in the siddur, you don't have enough light. The light in the room is not sufficient. You have to also turn on the menorah? The menorah? Who asked you to have a menorah altogether? Why do you have to turn on the menorah? And in addition, carbon emissions. What are you doing? You're lighting two candles right in front of you on the amud? This is pollution. Carbon emissions, how could you do this? And you need its illumination. There's more than enough light. And the answer is, you tell this fellow, mind your own business. Mind your own business. The reason why we're lighting this is l'chvoid, in honor of the davening, this is what we do. We waste money. Add up the electric bill and the bill for all of the candles and the fuel that they burn the entire year. It comes out to a nice amount of money. It's not cheap. Every single day, three times a day, to go turn on the menorah for davening. If you have a shul that has multiple minyanim and they light candles in addition, it's a nice amount of money. It comes out to a nice amount of money to go and light the menorah and light candles at the Amud every single day for absolutely no purpose. Because you can see, I can see what it says in the siddur. There's enough light in the shul. Why do I have to also light the menorah? And the answer is, even though it's right, it costs money. It does cost money. We have to go collect the money. We have to break people's wrists in order to give money for this. But that's what you do. In honor of davening, you spend money. It may seem it's a waste, but no, that's the way the world goes. That's what you do. The Gemara gives another example. The Gemara says that if a person is traveling in the desert or in a place where there's no earth, whatever the situation is, and he has an animal, and he wants to shech the animal, and he wants to eat the meat. So he has to be mekayim the mitzvah of kisui hadam, to cover the blood. And there's no earth to cover the blood. So what does he do? So the Gemara says, you're permitted, you should take the shirt off your back and burn it, in order to produce ash, and you can use that ash to cover the blood, to make a bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedeshanu B'mitzvot V'Tzivanu Al Kisui Hadam. What are you doing? You're taking a shirt that cost $35 at least, $25, $35, maybe more, or maybe whatever you have, and you're burning it in order to make ash, in order to go mimikayim the mitzvah? How could you do? The answer is, when it comes to a mitzvah, there's no prohibition of Baal Tashchis, to burn a garment in order to be mekayim a mitzvah. Therefore, if you can prove to me, you can establish that there is an inyan, there is such a principle, we have to discuss what that can possibly be. If you can prove to me that there is an inyan of burning garments in the presence of the cave, the burial spot of Rashbi, then it becomes a minhag. Then you can no longer argue that this is Baal Tashchis. Just like you cannot tell me that it's Baal Tashchis to light the menorah during davening, even though it costs a nice amount of money. And just like you cannot tell me it's Baal Tashchis to burn your garment to produce ash, to mekayim the mitzvah of kisui hadam when you don't have earth. Another example the Gemara gives, that Rav Ashi was the one who authored the Talmud Bavli. The Gemara says that at the wedding, he went to a wedding and he took a utensil that was worth 400 zuz. Whenever the Gemara used the term 400, it means it was extremely expensive. And he smashed it by the chasana during the dancing, in order, because he felt that the Rabbanon, that the Talmidei Chacham that were dancing at the wedding, they were getting carried away. They were getting it was too much. They were forgetting about the Churban of Yerushalayim. They were too merry. And in order to shatter their spirits, enough! We're living in Galus. It's not proper to go and dance like the way you're dancing. It's too much. He took a very expensive utensil and he destroyed it. And we do this today also to some degree. We take a glass and we break a glass under the chuppah right before they say Mazel Tov, they break the glass. Now today, it became a new world where they don't even want to break a glass. They break a light bulb. They have all these things. They're trying to save money. They have a cheap glass. But the truth is, Me'ikar Hadin, you're allowed to break and destroy something very expensive. Because the average person, when you see something expensive go to waste, it bothers you. It shatters you. Look at that. You know how hard it was? You know how hard it was to earn the money? Honest, earned money. To go, wake up early, to run in the cold, bitter winter, to daven, and then to get onto the train, to run one train to another train, to get to a cruddy job, to make a few dollars, to put some bread on the table. You know how hard it was to earn that money? And you're taking my hard-earned money and you're destroying it. It's painful. Today we live in a spoiled world. We're all a bunch of spoiled brats. Everyone is on government programs, entitlements. Money doesn't mean anything. It's not my money. It's someone else's money. This one's money. That one's money. Unfortunately, we've lost the sensitivity of what it means hard-earned money. And when you take an item that was earned with sweat and labor and honesty, and you take something and you destroy it, wow, that hurts. That really hurts. And that pain is thereby designed to say, you had a wedding, you can have a little, you have something to drink tonight, some alcohol, and you're going to dance, and you're going to do a kazatska and a cartwheel, and you're going to do this and that. You know something, calm down. Don't get carried away. There's a lot of suffering in this world. Calm down. And you're allowed to take something that's very expensive and destroy it. Oh, but it's baltashchis. It's baltashchis. No, it's not. When you destroy something for a purpose, there is no violation. So three halachas. Halacha number one is the minog Yisrael to light neros by the amud. Number two, the halacha, you're allowed to burn, you should burn your talis in order to produce efer to cover the blood. And number three, the halacha, the minig that the Rav Ashi himself says, I took a goblet that was worth 400 zuz and I smashed it in front of the Talmidei Chachamim to remind them they shouldn't dance so much at the chasana. So if you could explain to me that there is an inyan of burning clothing in front of Rashbi and Lag BaOmer, if you can prove to me that there is an authentic reason why it should be done, then the issue of Bal Tashchis goes away. Because I have already cited for you three different reasons, not me, I'm telling you what the Mefarshim say, why there are times when you're allowed to destroy expensive items. But now the question is, why in the world would you want to go burn clothing? I don't have for you a clear answer, but let me just touch upon some of what the Mefarshim explain, some of what they say. One idea goes back to the Simchas Beis HaShoev. At the Simchas Beis HaShoev in the Beis HaMikdash, it says that they burnt the worn out Big Day Kahuna. There was worn out Big Day Kahuna. The Kohanim, they served in the Beis HaMikdash. They were on duty and their clothing wore out. You know, you wore clothing. The miracle of Simloi Balu did not last for all generations. It lasted in the Midbar, but in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohanim worked, their clothing wore out. So what were they going to do with their worn out clothing? They were going to throw it in the garbage. What else are you going to do with worn out clothing? Give it away to a gemach? You can't ask Kedusha. You can't go give it away to a gemach because it has Kedusha. So what were they going to do? Put it in Geniza. So since already they're going to put it in Geniza, they might as well use it for a purpose. So on Simchas Beis HaShoeva, on Sukkos, when it was a big festival of Simcha and they danced, they took the worn out clothing. By Rashbi, what are we doing by Rashbi's Kev? What do they do by Rashbi's Kev? This year, it's been cut down, sliced and diced to a fraction of what it was last year because of the situation, obviously. And a lot of people there, if you're paying attention to the news, cannot deal with this. They cannot accept the reality that we're in a very difficult matzav, and they want to break all the laws and all the rules, go against the rabbanim and against the public health officials, and they are protesting, and they are illegally entering the ma'ara, and they're being arrested. It's a very ugly scene, what's going on out there. But it used to be last year, there was a 500,000 people that came to the ma'ara. I went there. I went, I think, a couple of years ago. I was there at this time of the year. I went to see myself. I wanted to see myself. What's going on? I figured once in a lifetime, how often will I have an opportunity to see this? My brother wouldn't go for nothing. He said he wouldn't go. He wouldn't go. He actually had to teach that. He had to go teach. But I said, listen, I'm here ready in Eretz Yisrael for Lag BaOmer. I got to see it myself. It was interesting. I told you all about it. But in any event, it's a place of simcha. It's a place in Meiron by Rashbi. Oiz v'hod is a makom of simcha. It's a me'ain of the simcha of the simchas beis hashoeva. Shesham she'avim ruach hakodesh. And what we do is we draw from exactly what they did at the simchas beis hashoeva. In the simchas beis hashoeva, they had large meduros of fire. Large torches of fire to provide illumination. And those torches of fire were fueled by the worn out clothing of the Kohanim. Rashbi's Hilula in Meiron, as we explain, is a Simchas Beis HaShoeva al Heosid, representing the future. It's a future Simchas Beis HaShoeva. We are, it's a Kabbalist, it's a Yoni Kabbalah, way over our head. We are drawing from the ore that has been hidden away at the time of Maisa Bereshis that is written in Rashi. Everything comes back to Rashi. Rashi says, in the beginning Hashem created the ore, Vayal Kimes Or Ki Toiv. It's too good. Ki Toiv, you know what Ki Toiv means? It's too good. Art scroll got it wrong. Art scroll writes, Vayarl kemesor kitov, Hashem, so the light is good. That's not really what it means. Vayarl kemesor kitov, Hashem, so the or is too good. And we are not deserving. And Hashem took the or and put it away in Geniza for the tzaddikim le'osid lovo. Rashbi is the le'osid lovo. It's not le'osid lovo mamosh, but it's a taste of the le'osid lovo. And the simcha that is expressed at his burial spot on Lag BaOmer is similar to the simcha Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where Chazal say, Mi shelo ro simcha zo, loy ro simcha biyamav. He never saw what simcha is. Where the Talmidei Chachamim would dance, and the ordinary people would watch. And the fires, they lit medurois to illuminate the simcha. And the medurois were fueled by the worn out clothing. We are imitating this simcha shaloi ra adam miyamav. We're imitating it because the simcha that we're trying to replicate, or we're trying to mimic or acknowledge exists, is the simcha that tzaddikim will have le'osi lavoi when they will be geula or in olam haba. And that simcha will be a simcha with the or, that was hidden away will be revealed. The Medura will be the Medura of the fire, not just like the Simchas Pesach, but the fire, even a more intense fire. And to show that it's being upgraded, instead of using clothing that are worn out, we use clothing that have not been worn out. Pristine, new clothing that are perfect. It's not because the clothing have any value, burning clothing. The clothing is a reminder of the worn out clothing of the Kohanim in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But we, instead of having the clothing worn out, we have them in pristine condition to express the idea that the fire is even a greater fire. It's a fire that an illumination that's even more elevated than the illumination that took place at the time of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, upon which it says, Mi Shaloi Simcha Zolai Ra Simcha B'yamav. But instead, the Simcha is going to be even that much greater. So there's no inyan of burning the clothing. Clothing? What are you burning clothing for? You out of your mind? What are you, crazy? You lost your mind? Who in their right mind would go burn new clothing? Go buy some fluid, some barbecue fluids, some coal, whatever you go use them to make a fire. Clothing? What's clothing doing there? The clothing is a zecher of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Mi shulei ros simcha zulei ros simcha biyamav. And the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they read meduros. And this was fueled by worn out, and there it made sense. It made a lot of sense why they had worn out clothing, because what else are you going to do with the worn out clothing? Kevon shenaseis ba mitzvah, asei mitzvah acheres. If I use the worn out clothing for one mitzvah, you might as well use the worn out clothing for another mitzvah. We're anyway going to throw it in the garbage, or put it in Geniza, or burn it. So we might as well burn it for a toeles, to give lichtekeit in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It made sense why they burnt the worn out clothing back then over there. We don't burn clothing because it makes sense. We burn new clothing as a reminder of what once was. And instead of it being worn out, we make it fresh and new to express in this illumination, it's going to be even greater. It's going to be more perfect, more holy, more pristine, more pure, more ruchnius, more of an intensity of the aura that was gone as for tzaddikim la'asalav. Because that's one of the reasons why we burn the minig burger. Okay, we have only 10 minutes. Let me just know. I'm just going to go straight and just finish up a couple more out. Let me share with you some agoda. I came across something which blew my mind. Okay, a few things that really blew my mind about Lag BaOmer. It's very relevant for us this year. It's very relevant in general. It's relevant. Okay, let me try to bring up my notes. I have everything written down. Let's go one thing at a time. Let me just share with you a few ideas. One of the ideas that is expressed by the Mefarshim as to why we celebrate Lag BaOmer relates to Rashbi. In the entire Shas, is the only one that made the following statement, that in my merit, I mean, putting all humility aside, he said, in my merit, I have the ability to exempt, what happened over here, the entire world from din. This world is subject to din. There are terrible things that happen in this world. There are terrible averos all over the place. By goyim and chas v'shalom, there are problems. We don't have to make believe. We all know that we live in a world where there are a lot of different problems. And Rashbi had a rough life. Rashbi, he said something nasty about the government. It was never meant that they should hear. And someone was malshin, said over to the government officials what he said. They made an investigation, and they came to get him. They came to get him and to kill him and to torture him. And the Romans had very, very powerful resources, And al pi derech hateva, they should have been able to hunt him down, torture him, and kill him. It was a miracle that he survived, but at a great expense. He had to hide away in the cave for 13 years. He suffered enormously. He worked, he toiled in Torah. He was a very special person. And Rashbi didn't just sit back and do nothing. Rashbi, you know, we discussed this a long time ago. When he came out of the cave, he said, Hoyel v'srachesh li nisa, because Hashem was so good to me and he allowed me to survive, I have a duty to give back to the community. I have an obligation to reciprocate, to do something. Hashem did with me a miracle. He allowed me to survive and grow in learning. I have to give back. And the Gemara goes on to say, what did he give back? He gave back Tahara. There was a city where Kohanim were not allowed to travel because there were dead bodies buried in that area, and no one knew exactly where the dead bodies were. And Rashbi came up with a technique, a technology almost, to discover where the dead bodies were buried, and he was able to mark them off. And that allowed all of the Kohanim to once again live and travel easily in this neighborhood where until then they were restricted because of Tumah. That was one thing that he did. But he really did something even greater. And he said as follows. This is a Gemara of Yom HaChizkiyah. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishum Rashbi. Chizkiyah taught in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, who in turn taught the following statement in the name of Rashbi. Yochol ani liftar es kol ha'olam kuloi min hadin miyom shenivresi anata. In my merit, for what I have gone through in my life, the suffering that I experienced, and my ability to accept it, to be mekabel the difficulty, be'emuna shleima, and serve Hashem, in that merit, I have the right and the ability to say to the Ribbono shel Olam, I've done mine, and now you have to listen to me. I demand of you to forgive every living creature in the entire world. Not just the Jews, everyone. No corona. Over. In my zuchus, I am a good person. I listened to you, Hashem. I did what you told me to do. I suffered because of you, Hashem. I sacrificed my life because of you. And I demand payback. Not for me. The payback is to exempt the entire world from Midas Hadin. For how long? My entire lifetime. Any living creature that was in this world together with me from the time I was born to the time that I died, they are exempt from any punishment. No punishment. Free. A free pass in my merit. That's what he said. And then he went on to say, and you know something, Hashem? I have a son. His name is Eliezer. And he's also a good man. He also suffered. He also sat in the cave with me for 13 years. He also accepted abuse, L'shem Shemayim. And in his merit, together with mine, the combination, the duo, okay, us together, we're going to exempt the entire world for how long? From the time of creation until today. I alone, it's amazing what a combination of two people can do. With my son, I can exempt the world in my lifetime. Together with my son, we can exempt the world from my separations. And there's a third person that I know. His name is Yoisam ben Uziyahu.
when we combine them into the equation, we're going to exempt the world from din, from the time the world was created until the end of days. If you study Shas, 2,711 pages, you will not find anywhere a Tana, an Amora, anyone that speaks to the Ribbono Shel Olam with such chutzpah like Rashbi. You will not find anyone in the entire Shas that says, Ribbono Shel Olam, you owe me. You owe me what I have done for you. You owe me. And you know what you owe me? I want you to exempt all of us from din, from the time the world was created until the end of days. We're not so good. We make mistakes. We've done averos. So you're going to have to forgive us. I demand. This person that was so kind to step up to the plate and to come and ask Hashem to have rachmanis upon us, he deserves a thank you. He deserves one day a year we should say, Rashbi, toda raba. Rashbi, we have the greatest respect for you. For you to stand up for us. For you to come forward and to devote your merits in honor of us. You know, Rashbi could have said, in the merit of everything that I've suffered in this world, I want an Olam Haba, an extra piece of pizza. In the merit of all the good merits that I have done, I want an extra beer. You know, whatever, he can go ask that in Olam Haba, he should get super duper deluxe beyond description, a special chelik in Olam Haba for what he deserves. And he said, no. You know what I want? In all of my work, my yegiyah, which we have no clue, we can't even fathom what he saw, what went on, what's going on over here. What did he demand? He didn't want it for himself. He wanted nothing for himself. He wants it for Klal Yisrael, for us. And therefore, it's deserving one day a year we tip our hat. Rashbi, thank you. You've done for us chesed. I know, especially Lag BaOmer, you know, we need, there's no one that we need to make this statement for us in our lifetimes like Rashbi. We're living in the middle of a global pandemic. No one knows nothing. Nothing. We're clueless. He just said Dr. Tesla passed away. He was home free. He came home. They probably made for him a celebration. I saw yesterday, this was so moving. I know who the person is. His name is Jeremiah. His name is, I don't know his first name. I know who he is. He is the grandfather of a girl that I know. There's a young lady, she got married. Her chassan, his name is Buchler. And Buchler's grandfather, his mother's father, his name is Jeremiah. And this Jeremiah, I remember him, last year, it was a year ago. I remember the Ofruf, he came to the yeshiva, and they gave an aliyah. I remember I was talking to him at length about laning the maftir from Klaf. He was very, very disturbed to see us laying the maftir from Klaf. He held that this is a Naya Minug. In the olden days, they laying the maftir from Chumash. Why all of a sudden is everyone laying it from Klaf? We had a whole conversation with him. He was deathly ill with corona for a very, very long time. He was just released. Someone sent me a video of the hospital staff. There must have been 50 people of the hospital staff cheering him out. They lined him in the hallway. He came out. They were clapping. As Hatzalah took him out of the hospital, he stopped and he gave them a bracha. May God bless you all. It was very emotional how he blessed them. And then when he came home, Koilois Ubrakim. Okay, but Rabbi Yisai, no one's, he should be gesund and well. He has a long way to go. He has a long way to go. No one knows. No one knows what's going to be. Everyone is totally lost. Should the shuls open up? Should they not open up? Rav Herschel Shechter says that after the government gives the green light, 2 weeks, not so fast. I asked the rabbi of the shul where I daven, are you going to open up? So he says, not everyone has to be from the Asara Rishonim. I'm not opening up so fast. Let the other shuls open up. Let's see. Not everyone has to be from the Asara Rishonim to open up. By the way, he was the one, he also told me, he will never, ever shut down his shul. He says, no way, we are never, ever shutting down. He shut down very quickly, don't worry. He shut down very quickly, just even before other people shut down. He shut down the shul very quickly. And now he's telling me, I'm not going to be from the Asara Rishonim to open up my shul. Even after the government says that it's mutter, the government, the mayor, the governor, and the president will say, you can open up the shuls. All right, good. Let someone else open up. I'll wait a little bit. I'm not such a rush. We're in a lot of sakana. What's going to be next year? We need someone to come along and step up to the plate and say, Ribbono shel Olam, yochol ani liftor es kol ha'olam min hadin. Miyom shenivreisi ad achshav. Ribbono shel Olam, enough of the nonsense. Cut out the nonsense. In my zuchus, I'm going to poiter the ganze welt, from China to America. From Din. And if that's not enough, I have a son. His name is Eliezer. With him, we'll pointer from the time of my Zibereshus. And if that's not enough, Ribbono shel Olam, I say to you with chutzpah, Be'ikvaso de Meshicha, chutzpah yaske, I'm going to pointer the ganze welt from Miyoim of my Zibereshus at Soif Hayamim in my Zuchus. Rabbi, we never needed Rashbi more than now. We never needed someone to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's time to be poiter, to exempt the whole world from the Midas Hadin. We need him. There's no one in the whole Shas, from Dav Beis and Brachas to the end of Nida, that stood up with such brazen chutzpah to say to the Ribbono shel Olam, you owe me big time, and I don't want you to pay me back for me. I want you to take my zechusim, and I want to be mezakeh the ganze welt, to be poiter the world from the midas hadin. There's no day we need to chap onto to appreciate, to daven with kavana, like Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is a day that we devote, whether Rashbi died, whether he didn't die, whether this happened, that happened, it's the day we devote in his honor what he, his life experience, what his look on life, his appreciation for life. Rashbi is a very complicated person. The whole Shas, from beginning to end, is over and over, Rabbi Shimon, Nishta Pasher de Mensch. And his greatest smile is his devotion to Klal Yisrael. I'll leave you with the story that I told you many times, but I want to chazra because it's so apropos to Rashbi. Very quick story. Ma'i so shehoya. There was a Chassidish Rebbe, a Groysa Chassidish Rebbe. He looked just like Mark. Mark, you still here?
Mark, what happened to you, Mark? Okay, if Mark's not here, then I'll tell you, at least Mark's here. He looked like Meir. He looked like Meir. He had a beard like Meir. It was a Groysa Hasidish Rebbe. Mark, okay, well, today we'll look up Meir. He looked just like Meir. Groysa Hasidish Rebbe with a long white beard. And he had a chassid. He had a chassid. He had a chassid. His name, the chassid, was Mark. And Mark did for Meir a groysa, groysa toive. Such a groysa toive. It was not to be believed. So the Rebbe, the Meir, he calls Mark into for Yechidus, and he says to Mark, Mark, you did for me such a groysa chassid. I want to reward you. I want to reward you. I give you a choice. Choice A. Acha mev esrim. You can double it. After 240. When you come to Shemayim, the reward will be imi b'michitzasi. You'll learn with me b'chavrusa. You'll learn with me b'chavrusa after 240 years in Gan Eden. We'll learn b'chavrusa, just me and you. That's one option. Option A. Option B. Nah. In Olam Haba, it's your problem. You go wherever you go. Wherever you go, Mark, you go. You're not going to learn with Meir.
Okay.
But instead, in this world, you'll be zoich. You go buy a lottery ticket, Powerball. I guarantee you, I'll pull the strings. You're going to win the Powerball. You'll be a multi-billionaire. A or B, what do you want? Nitzchias? Nitzchias, b'chavrusa, with Meir? Or no. But in this world, you'll have a good life. A good life. What do you want? Don't answer me. Go home, think about it. Come back in a week and tell me what you want. A week goes by, and Mark comes into the Rebbe, the Grace of Rebbe, Meir. And the Rebbe says, "New Mark, what do you want?" And Mark says, "I want the lottery ticket. I want the Powerball. I want the money. I want cash. I don't want the nitzchias. Fine, you got it. Go buy a ticket." Mark buys a ticket. He wins the Powerball. He's a billionaire. A month later, he comes to the Rebbe for Yechidus, and the Rebbe says, "Mark, tell me. I gave you a choice. You got what you wanted. I'm curious, curious. Why? Why do you want the money? Why do you want the money? Why didn't you take the nitzchias? Olam haba, the nitzchias." So Mark says, "Rebbe, I'll tell you the answer. Really, right away I was going to take nitzchias. Manichin chaye olam, v'oiskin v'chaye shah. Of course nitzchias, chaye olam. This welt is garnished. It's chaye shah." But then I said to myself, "But it's selfish. If I take the nitzchias, I'm the only one that's going to learn with a Meir. It's just to be about me, myself, and I. It's only about me. If I take the money, if I win the Powerball, what am I going to do with the money? I'm going to give it out to everyone. I'm going to be Mahane, the ganze Welt. I'm going to give my children money. I'm going to give my grandchildren. I'm going to give my next door neighbor. I'm going to go give the rabbi of the shul. I'm going to go give this organization, Hatzalah. I'm going to go give Yad Eliezer. I'm going to go make new institutions, new chassadim. I'm going to support all the yeshivas in the kollel. I'm going to support the poor and give everyone jobs, make a whole new system. I'm going to do incredible. I'm going to be Mahane the ganze Welt. Who am I to go take? Be selfish. To be a selfish person and take nitzchias for myself in Olam Haba at the expense of people who I can be Mahana people in this world." You know who the chassid is? Rashbi. Rashbi suffered his whole life. He had a miserable life. Yisurim, he came out of the cave, what he looked like. He had to go to doctors the rest of his life. What became of him? What happened? He suffered enormously for 13 years and v'chulu v'chulu.
And Rashbi, he did it all the Shem Shamayim. He suffered Yisurim Shel Ahava. And what did he say to the Ribbono Shel Olam? You owe me. So I could say to you, no, in the next world, you'll give me Chayi Olam. But you know something, Ribbono Shel Olam? I don't care. That's selfish. Yochol ani liftor min hadin the ganze oilam. I want the zechusim to go for everyone in this world. In this world. Hashem have rachmanis on the people in this world. They shouldn't suffer. They should have parnas, they should have good health. They should have simchas achayim. And if that's not enough, I'm going to take my son with me. And Yoisam. And we're going to be mezaka the ganze welt. I'm not interested in me. I want my zechusim to go to this world. This maisa is just a mashal for Rashbi. To Rashbi, tomorrow, we tip our hat. We say to Rashbi, Rashbi, thank you. That's what it's about. Rashbi, Aruch HaShulchan says there's a Messiah. He doesn't know about he died. There's a lot of problems with the fact that he died on Lag BaOmer. They make believe he died on Lag BaOmer. Not so partially he died on Lag BaOmer. So what Rashbi, the Aruch HaShulchan says the real Messiah is he came out of the cave on Lag BaOmer. All right, whatever it is, it centers around Rashbi. It's a day that we tip our hat to Rashbi. Rashbi, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for devoting your zechusim to be lifter es ha'olam kulo min hadin. And there's never been a time in our life when we need him. We need Rashbi nochamol, to be poiter es ha'olam min hadin. We're at frightening times. No one knows. No one knows what's going on. No one knows the future. It's frightening. What's going to be? Everything is still, you know, nishtahi nishtaher. We need his zechusim, zechuso yogin aleinu. We should be zeicha to Yeshua's, nechamais, refuais, and simcha, mirs Hashem. Tomorrow we'll see you all. This simcha, mishloi simcha zu loira simcha biyamav. Have a wonderful day. Be well to all of you.
You too. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May you look good. You look good. The grace of ever.
Anyone making a backdoor fire?
Okay.
Okay.